Welcome to Rants and Reason. I am Chuck.
I am Karen.
I am a liberal.
And I am a conservative. And as Abraham Lincoln reminds us, we are not enemies. We are friends. And today is Meme Monday. But this one's going to be a little bit different because you kind of planned this for us. And it's a little bit different, but very cool. You did a really good job, Chuck.
Well, thank you. See, you can leave me alone by myself and I won't destroy everything.
For a short amount of time.
This first one, we'll get started. This first one was sent to us by a dear friend, Benjamin Fitton. Thank you, Ben. And it says...
Well, now we have to name everybody every time they send us memes.
So. We do? Okay, if you want to shout out on the show, send us a meme. So the meme says a man in Kentucky threw a boomerang, which flew back, hitting him on the head. And following this, he sued himself for $300,000 and won, with his insurance company paying the entire payout.
Uh-huh.
Now, this meme is meant to show how ridiculous our legal system is.
Right.
But amazingly, a Google search will show that it's been reported on hundreds of websites and even a newspaper in China.
It's crazy.
As well as a number of tabloids, you'll see it, like the grocery store, the ones that have the headlines that said, I had an alien's baby.
Right, so the real news.
Right.
Not the fake news.
Yeah. Not the junk you get on CNN.
Right, yeah.
The real news, that's where you get it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, while this meme's clearly untrue, it got us interested in two things. Can you sue yourself? And how did such an obviously untrue statement make the rounds so widely on the internet? Now we're gonna go into can you sue yourself? So we have to give our disclaimer, Karen.
We are not lawyers.
You have been disclaimed.
Well, you would think that suing yourself would not be permissible, but given the right circumstances, apparently it is. In a recent Utah Supreme Court decision, Barbara Bagley versus Barbara Bagley. Barbara Bagley, the wife of an accident victim, was allowed to sue herself for negligently causing the death of her husband and simultaneously both win and lose.
What I wondered throughout this thing was Bagley versus Bagley. Was she like standing up saying, Mrs. Bagley, how fast were you driving? And then she would run and get on the witness stand, say, oh, approximately 35 miles an hour. And then she would jump back up. And, had you been drinking? And she'd run back. No, I had not been drinking.
Well, Barbara Bagley was the common law wife of the decedent, Bradley Von Bauer. On December 27, 2011, Barbara was driving their 2000 Range Rover when she lost control of the Rover and flipped the vehicle. Bradley was thrown from the car and sustained several severe injuries, and he ended up dying 10 days later. Barbara, acting in her capacity of sole heir and personal representative of her husband's estate, sued herself as the individual who caused Bradley's death, seeking damages under the wrongful death and survival action statutes. She sought damages personally and also to satisfy the creditors of her husband's estate. And I would imagine legally that was actually the key of this whole thing. The district court dismissed her lawsuit, concluding that the plain language of the statutes and certain public policies precluded a person from simultaneously acting as both plaintiff and defendant in a wrongful death or survival action suit.
Because regardless. Would be like a tennis match. You'd just be, right. No, that's just ridiculous. You can't just jump back and forth.
Right, and regardless of the capacity in which the person was acting. And the Court of Appeals actually reversed that decision, concluding the statutes unambiguously did allow Barbara to maintain this lawsuit. Barbara's auto insurance carrier, State Farm, appealed to the Utah Supreme Court. Utah's wrongful death statute allows the heir, as opposed to the estate of a decedent, to recover lost wages of the decedent that the family members were dependent on.
Decedent being dead guy.
Yes.
Not everybody is as lawyerly as we.
Or, that's very sexist of you, or dead girl.
Okay.
Medical expenses and damages for the emotional toll of the loss of the family member.
Quick question.
Would you stop interrupting me?
What do you call a woman on the moon?
An astronaut.
Okay, you got that. You've heard it before. Go ahead.
I'm the one who told it to you.
Oh, okay.
And you didn't say it right. Okay. Utah's survival state allows the decedent's estate to assert a claim for the decedent's injuries before they died. In a survival action, the estate is allowed to recover for the decedent's as opposed to the living family members, pain and suffering from the time of the injury until the death, as well as the economic losses suffered by the decedent. Essentially, the law allows the estate to take over the personal injury claim that the decedent had until they died. The Utah Supreme Court concluded that the statutes permit a person acting in the legal capacity of an heir or a personal representative to sue him or herself in an individual capacity for negligently causing a decedent's death or injury. It held that the plain language of both statutes permits such a lawsuit. Therefore, Barbara both wins and Barbara both loses. It's enough to make your head spin.
So you can sue yourself.
You can. You can't sue yourself.
I'm going to go get myself a lawyer tomorrow because I got some problems with myself, you know.
Yeah. You're going to sue yourself for sexual harassment.
I am. Unwanted touch. That's right. That's exactly right. Well, let's move on now. The second part of this, we wondered, how did this get spread so fast? And why is fake news a real thing? And we stumbled upon, because when I'm doing research, I just actually stumble upon stuff. I don't really find it. Karen has a list of sites I should look if I'm researching, and I just type stuff into Google. But anyway, a new study from MIT, and it was published in Science Magazine, suggests that hoaxes, whether they be unintentional nuggets of misinformation or malicious pieces of propaganda, actually disseminate more quickly than pieces of true news.
I didn't really find this like a groundbreakingly shocking study. I mean, because fake news is more interesting than
Oh yeah, everybody wants to read about Bigfoot.
Real news is really very boring. If you read a story and it's fairly boring, it's probably factual. Anyway, go ahead.
Well, according to their study, falsehood diffused, and again, I know you people are not lawyers, so diffuse means spread. It diffused significantly faster.
Disclaimer.
We're not lawyers
We are not scientists.
Yeah, we're not scientists.
Okay.
Here you go. A falsehood diffused significantly farther, faster, deeper.
And more broadly.
Than the truth in all categories of information. And the effects were more pronounced for false political news than for false news about terrorism, natural disasters, science, urban legends, or financial information. So false political news will spread faster than anything. The study said we found false news was more novel than true news, like I had the aliens baby, which suggests that people were more likely to share novel information, whereas false stories inspired fear, disgust, surprise, and replies. True stories inspired anticipation, sadness, joy, and trust. The study found, whereas the truth rarely diffused or spread to more than 1,000 people, the top 1% of false news cascades, that's the spreading of it, routinely diffused to between...
I don't know, that's cascade is falling down. Like trickle down.
Dude, I'm using the scientific terms, okay? False news cascades routinely diffused to between 1,000 and 100,000 people. It took the truth about 6 times as long as falsehood to reach 1,500 people.
We're doing math now.
I know. Yeah, you just sit there and be pretty, okay? I'll do the math here. Falsehood, I'm going to get emails about that. Falsehood also diffused significantly more broadly and was retweeted by more users than the truth at every cascade path. False political news also diffused deeper, more quickly, and reached more than 20,000 people, nearly 3 times faster than all other types of false news reached 10,000 people.
Why is this? I am going to quote cognitive scientist Steve Sloman, author of The Knowledge Illusion. I love saying that. Illusion. I can't ever say that without illusion. Okay. Political
interest. It's a magic trick.
It's magic. Okay. Political interests have lied and distorted facts to help achieve their own ends, probably since the dawn of civilization and maybe before. The problem today is threefold. First, because of technology, anyone in the world can be a source of news. To get people's attention, one only needs to be clever enough to excite the interest of enough people in order for your message to go viral. One way to do this is to put your message in the hands of social media bots, machines whose sole purpose is to fool social media into thinking they are real people so that their contribution counts. They would do this by massively increasing the number of likes on Facebook or retweets on Twitter. Success has very little to do with the truth of one's message. And we see this in Chuck's Facebook posts sometimes. He will craft these posts that are just full of
They're mostly true,
but you could just say anything and people would be like, oh, you're so clever and you're so smart and you're so right. And they'd all like it and just talk about how brilliant you are. I spend hours to craft something that I make sure is completely factual. And I'm just like trying to make a difference in the world. And I post it and like maybe three people like it.
You know what I do?
Somebody will make a comment that says like your brain hurts or something like that. And I'm just like,
I just post things. What I post typically is something that hits me at 2 o'clock in the morning. And it's often quite profound. But then what I found out, my son one time said, Dad, please just type the stuff out. And then when you wake up in the morning, hit publish or hit post.
See, I think that people in the White House have probably had the exact same conversation.
They have. I tend to use a lot of profanity in my Facebook posts.
They're like, Dad, please tweet it in the morning.
Tweet that.
Okay. Second, because of technology, we are inundated by information. We just don't have time to separate the facts from the falsities. And I deal with this all the time.
Even fact when checkers I write scripts.
Even fact checkers don't have time. A message can go viral before any serious truth filter has been applied. And I think this is really a struggle for journalists because of how quickly information is disseminated now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
This leads to a positive feedback cycle. If one team is passing around unfiltered information, then its opponents feel the need to respond in real time, so they won't be able to check their facts either. The positive feedback is further increased by individuals' tendency not to read very carefully. People share messages without even reading them, never mind evaluating their accuracy. You see this a lot when people just make comments based on headlines.
Right.
Finally, the huge variety of news media in our culture means that people have the freedom to tune into news sources that tell them what they want to hear. And we all like to hear news that's consistent with our beliefs. Dude, I think this guy has listened to us.
He stole our ideas.
We basically said this. Yeah. So. Some cable TV stations, for instance, don't even pretend to be unbiased. They each serve up a digestible meal of news to their respective partisans. We no longer have Walter Cronkite providing the entire country with a common set of facts. Like, we basically said that.
We did.
He also states that we know the primary determinant of whether people believe a message is whether or not they agree with it. That's confirmation bias.
Yeah, I know. You know what? It's like he listened to our podcast and wrote a book.
It really is. Yes. If they don't, they're much more likely to check its veracity. Moreover, opinion depends more on the beliefs of your community than it does on facts. Individuals are not just rational processors of information. His advice is be more reflective. Don't believe in everything you read, but consider the possibility that it might be false. But I consider this too simplistic. The problem with fake news is the narrative that it supports. The worst kind of fake news gets people discussing the implications of something that just isn't true. We need to foster norms of discourse in which it's okay to challenge what others say without the conversation immediately devolving into the invective. Or, basically, this guy says that you should just listen to Rants and Reason for the real information.
Okay, I might have thrown that part in there.
No. Really?
No, he said that, really. Now, this is another meme that kind of takes a shot at our litigious society. That's a propensity to file lawsuits. I know. I'm using a lot of big words here. It's a billboard that says, spill hot coffee, win millions, play lawsuit lottery. And the billboard is paid for by Citizens Against Lawsuit Abuse. Now, Citizens Against Lawsuit Abuse, or CALA, they pretend to be this grassroots group of organization made up of concerned citizens.
I want to know if there's any organizations made up of unconcerned citizens.
Yeah, the National Association of Weed Smokers.
Yeah, okay. Which makes sense.
I'm actually vice president of local chapter.
So, you know. So. Just keep going.
I'm sorry. So anyway, it's concerned citizens to eliminate lawsuit abuse. Now, in fact, according to the Center for Justice and Democracy at New York Law School, they're actually funded by major corporations such as tobacco giant Philip Morris and that company that makes the kids' toys, Bag O' Broken Glass. In an effort, really, their whole thing is to try to make filing lawsuits harder. But so
they're just basically mocking the little people.
Yeah, but they're pretending to be the little people.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Now, this billboard makes reference to the large settlement given to a woman who spilled hot coffee in her lap area and was awarded millions of dollars from McDonald's, right? That sounds ridiculous. But here's some facts. Mrs. Liebeck.
Liebeck.
Okay, Liebeck. She was not driving when her coffee spilled, nor was the car she was in moving. She was a passenger at a car that was stopped in the parking lot of McDonald's, and she was, I think, 74 years old. So picture this in your head. She bought the coffee. She had the cup between her knees while moving the lid to add cream and sugar when the cup tipped over and spilled the entire contents in her lap. It's not funny. I don't know why I'm laughing.
That's why they do it for you now. That's why they're like, how many milks and sugars would you like in your coffee? It's because they don't want you doing it. Okay.
She was like 74.
So, okay, just don't. It's not funny.
I know it's not funny.
What's wrong with you?
It's like.
You need Jesus. Like, you just keep going.
It came to life again.
Stop. This is not a mystery to me.
I'm sorry. This is not funny. Now, the coffee was not just hot, but. Go ahead.
But dangerously hot. McDonald's corporate policy was to serve it at a temperature that could cause serious burns in seconds. I just don't think that was written in the policy. Mrs. Liebeck's injuries were far from frivolous. She was wearing sweatpants that absorbed the coffee, and it actually kept the hot coffee against her skin, and she ended up... Stop!
I'm just picturing, like, somebody... I know it ain't funny.
It's terrible.
I didn't laugh when I read this before, but I'm picturing, like, doing a stop, drop, and roll. Trying to tear her sweatpants off in the McDonald's parking lot. It's not funny. I apologize, Miss Liebeck.
Liebeck.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You know what? It was nice having good reviews last.
I'm sorry, Karen. You knew this was only going to last so long. I tried to behave.
She suffered third-degree burns, which are the most serious kind, and she required skin grafts on her inner thighs.
Liebeck's case was far from an isolated event.
Liebeck.
Okay, I'm sorry. McDonald's had received more than 700 previous reports of injuries from its coffee, including reports of third-degree burns, and it paid settlements and a lot. This coffee, it was like Al-Qaeda coffee. It was like a terrorist. So Miss Liebeck offered to settle the case for $20,000 to cover her medical expenses and lost wages. But McDonald's never offered more than $800. So the case went to trial. The jury found Miss Liebeck to be partially
at
fault for her injuries and reduced the compensation for her injuries accordingly. But the jury's punitive damages made headlines, her award. Upset by McDonald's unwillingness to correct the policy despite hundreds of people suffering injuries, they awarded Liebeck the equivalent
Liebeck.
Of 2 days worth of revenue from coffee sales for the restaurant chain. That wasn't the end of it. The original punitive damage award was ultimately reduced by more than 80% by the judge, and to avoid what likely would have been years of appeals, Ms. Liebeck and McDonald's later reached a confidential settlement.
Liebeck.
Okay, Liebeck. Now,
here is some of the evidence the jury heard during the trial. McDonald's operations manual required the franchisee to hold its coffee at 180 to 190 degrees Fahrenheit. Coffee at that temperature, if spilled, causes third-degree burns in 3 to 7 seconds. The chairman of the Department of Biomechanical Engineering at the University of Texas testified that the risk of this harm is just simply unacceptable, as did a widely recognized expert on burns, the editor-in-chief of the Journal of Burn Care and Rehabilitation, the leading scholarly publication in the specialty. McDonald's admitted that it had known about the risk of serious burns from its scalding hot coffee for more than 10 years. Yeah, but they've only been paying settlements of $800
a piece. Here you go. Take a McMuffin, go on home. My bad.
The risk had repeatedly been brought to its attention through numerous other claims and suits. An expert witness for the company testified that the number of burns was really insignificant compared to the billions of cups of coffee the company served every year. At least one juror later told the Wall Street Journal that she thought the company wasn't really taking the injury seriously.
Miss Liebeck did.
Those 700 injury cases caused by hot coffee seemed relatively small in comparison to the amount served. But the juror noted, there was a person behind every number, and I don't think the corporation was attaching enough importance to that. McDonald's quality assurance manager testified that McDonald's coffee, at the temperature at which it was poured into styrofoam cups, was not fit for consumption because it would burn the mouth and the throat. McDonald's admitted at trial that consumers were unaware of the extent of the risk of serious burns from spilled coffee served at McDonald's then required temperature, and McDonald's admitted it did not warn customers of the nature and extent of this risk and could offer no explanation as to why it did not.
And in a story about the case published shortly after the verdict was delivered in 1994, one of the jurors said over the course of the trial, he came to realize the case was about callous disregard for the safety of other people. Another juror said the facts were so overwhelmingly against the company, we had no other choice. That's because those jurors were able to hear the facts, including those presented by McDonald's and, oh God,
to see the extent of Mrs. Liebeck's injuries.
Oh, God.
Ask Eddie.
I hope this wasn't like the OJ thing.
Just stop. Ask anyone who criticizes the case as a frivolous lawsuit that resulted in jackpot justice if they would have done the same.
Dino, here's what I'm wondering real quick.
No, let's not.
No, just as a quick question. Okay, my bad.
All right, we want to thank everyone who takes the time to listen to us, especially this episode. If you got through it, kudos on you. You can find us on Podbean, Stitcher, and iTunes, and we would really appreciate you dropping us a positive review. If you can't drop us a positive review,
don't give us a negative one.
Just don't. Please. And don't blame me, man.
It wasn't me. We have a pretty active Facebook group if you'd like to join. You can find us on Facebook at Rants and Reason Podcast Facebook group. We love to thank our moderators. They do such a great job there.
They really do. They're awesome. You can also follow us on Twitter at Rants Reason. And if you would like to help us offset costs of the show, we do have a Patreon page. And you can find us on Patreon as Rants and Reason.
Until next Monday.
Yes. Bye.
Bye.